Amen. Well, glory. Now remember, if you have to leave at some point in time, that is okay. You can just go ahead and slip out. I don't want to rush service. Don't want to rush anything. Amen. Woohoo! Sweet. Absolutely sweet. Let's pray. God, we love you and we worship you, and I just thank you for this time this morning. I thank you for what you put in my heart. I thank you for Jeff Johnson and helping build this prop and that stuff and the people of the church and just, Father God, folks that are real and folks who want to serve you and live a life that's pleasing to you and one that, well, they live it in such a way that when they get to the end of it, they hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And Father, I know that's true with people in here. And I thank you for this chance to minister to them this morning and to share what you've put in my heart with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I do know what season it is. I am not confused. You might wonder when you read Luke chapter 2, but go to Luke chapter 2. Hallelujah. In the first part of my message here, I plan on just reading some scriptures, not really elaborating on them a lot, but just talking about them. Glory to God. And the title this morning for the message is Into the Mess. Into the Mess. How many of us are willing to go into the mess? Jesus was. And it came to pass, verse 1, Luke chapter 2, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus until all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, and to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were complete for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God in the highest, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards man." Why am I reading those verses of Scripture, and why do I have this up here? And I walked in, and I had a bucket of mud and stuff. And I just will let you know right up front, it's not just mud. Jeff Johnson did me a favor, and he went out to his corral, and he gathered stuff from the corral and brought it here. And that's what's in that trough. And there's more to be added. And if you stop and think about it, Jesus was not afraid to go into a mess. He left heaven where there are streets of gold. Now, if he walked on those streets before he came here, then he was used to walking on streets of gold. I say if because I'm not sure that he had bodily form at that point in time. I believe he was the Word of God like the Scripture says. But there were streets of gold. And think about it. He came to this world and he was born in a manger. And you know, it was crowded there. There was a lot of people. All the hotels were full, and the manger was crowded. So if the manger's crowded, what are there a lot of in the manger? Animals. What do animals do? I like poop. They do. So think about where Jesus was born. See, he was willing to leave heaven and come to this mess. My question is, are we? That's the theme. So you want me to skip everything in the middle and just go to that? I could, but we're not gonna. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Jesus gets baptized in the Holy Spirit in verse 18. No, I'll start at verse 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And his custom was he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus came down to this earth to do some things, to accomplish some things, to finish some things. And how many of you know God thinks a little bit different than we do, and he doesn't quite do things like we think they should be done? How many of you would send your original ambassador, your original ambassador of your country, into the country in which you wanted him to go as a child born in a manger? Not typically how we would do things. That wouldn't be our plan. And Jesus comes and he does amazing things. You know, Acts chapter 10 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and power, who went around doing good and healing all those who were sick and oppressed of the devil. Jesus came to this earth for a purpose. He came to this earth to accomplish some things, to get some things done. Now, if you would, please take your Bible and open up to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. You know, and a lot of you guys don't realize this, but do you know me standing up here and reading in front of you is a miracle? Matthew 27. Yeah, God is so good. Matthew 27, starting at verse 38. Matthew 27, verse 38. Now two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right, the other on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself, if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and the elders said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." How many of you know he could? How many of you know he could? He told us he could call in a legions of angels. I tell you what, he could have ended the whole deal if he wanted it. I just remember when the movie The Passion of the Christ played. And then after that movie had played, there were a lot of people, you know, "No, we didn't kill him. No, we didn't crucify him." And other people saying, "Well, you crucified him. You crucified him." How many of you know nobody took his life from him? He gave it freely. Nobody took it. Nobody. He let them do what they did because he sees things from a different realm. He's got a different perspective. There's a bigger plan. "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let's see if Elijah will come and save him." Jesus, when he had cried out again with a loud voice, yielded up his spirit. He died for us. He died for you and me. And how many of you know the grave couldn't hold him? Just let me read this now over in chapter 28. "Now after the Sabbath, there was the first day of the week, the beginning of dawn. Mary Magdalene and Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it." I just think that angel was having a little fun. I think he was just enjoying sitting on that stone. Rolled it out of the way and just had a seat. I just kind of smile at that. How many of you know the angels, they know how to have fun? They like to enjoy, and they like to see when God wins, because they're doing his bidding, and they like to see when we win. "His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay.'" Ernie, would you do that amen again? "He's not here. He is risen." How many of us are so grateful and so thankful to Jesus and the fact that he is risen? Amen? Now, as I dig into this and as I look into this, I want to shift gears because he came to do something. Go with me to Romans chapter 4 now. Romans chapter 4. Romans 4. Romans 4. Verse 25. Romans 4, 25. "Who was delivered up because of our offenses." Years ago, I saw this verse of scripture, and it just had huge impact on me. "Who was delivered up because of our offenses." Why was Jesus delivered up to that cross? Because of your sin, because of my sin. Turn and look at somebody and say, "He went to that cross because of my sin." Okay, go ahead. That's all right. Yeah. He went to that cross because of your sin. He went to that cross because of my sin. He was delivered up onto that cross because of our sin. And then how many of us can just amen that? I mean, you're just okay. You're just like, yeah, he went to that cross because of my sin. He was delivered up because of my sin. Yeah, I can agree with that. I can accept that. I can handle that. You know what I wish we would be able to do, and I believe more and more people are getting a hold of it, is the next part of the verse. Look at it. "And was raised because of our justification." Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Why was he raised? And when he's talking about raised, it's not talking about raised up onto the cross. It's talking about raised up from hell. Amen. Why was he raised up from hell? Because of my justification, because of your justification. Amen? We ought to identify more, I believe, with the second part of that verse of scripture than the first. But did you know that in a lot of the body of Christ, a lot in the church world, people identify more with the sin part than they do the justification part? He was raised up because of my justification. What does that tell us then? That tells us he got the job done. He got you justified. He got you made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, that's dancing territory. That's shouting territory. That's happy ground. Oh, amen, Ernie. Amen. It really, really is. He was delivered up because of our sins, because of our transgressions. He was raised because of our justification. Why don't you turn and look at somebody and say, I'm justified. I'm justified. Amen? Hallelujah. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you have repented of your sin, you're justified. Amen. You're justified. Now I get to do this. I get to share a verse of scripture that impacted my life and changed my life forever. 2 Corinthians 5:21, keep a marker in Romans before you leave. 2 Corinthians 5:21, keep a marker there in Romans. Because we'll be back in that neighborhood. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is just a favorite verse, and many of you who have been here for a long time, you know this is a favorite for me. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I like to read that this way. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I lived a life under condemnation. I lived a life of loser. I lived a life of failure. I lived a life of idiot. You have no idea. And when I say to you, it's a miracle that I'm standing up here and reading, I'm not kidding. When my wife met me, she actually thought I was illiterate because my reading was so poor. I did not graduate from high school because I did not care. I was full-blown drug addict, alcoholic, womanizer. I was not a nice person. And he justified me. He made me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I had a situation where I should have been going to prison, but I didn't. And one night walking across the street with the threat of prison hanging over my head, and the devil bombarding me like crazy with thoughts of loser and failure and that name that my dad would call me. How many of you in here can relate to a name that somebody spoke over you and that somebody called you and somebody said to you time and time again, and it wasn't edifying and it wasn't a compliment? There's a bunch of us in here, we can relate to that. Things that were said and the impact that that had on our lives and on our thinking and on our mindset and how we viewed ourselves. And it's kind of like that became our identity. That's who we were. I remember crossing that intersection and Satan, he was trying to get me to call myself that name. But instead of that name, this verse of scripture that I had been quoting for 2.5 years, he who knew no sin was made sin on my behalf that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He who knew no sin was made sin on my behalf that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He who knew no sin was made sin on my behalf that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you know, I said that for 2 years plus and didn't feel it. My emotions said otherwise, but the Word of God is final authority. Amen. And that night crossing that intersection, instead of that name that my dad had, this verse of scripture came out. Oh, I remember. I didn't finish my walk. I didn't finish my prayer time. Why? Because I had my victory. And for the first time in my life as a Christian, in the middle of an intersection, I knew what the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus felt like. And I still get emotional about it because I remember that intersection. I got a testimony. I got tons of them. I am so grateful to him. I am so thankful. And I turned around and I walked back to the house, which wasn't very far away at all. And I saw Diana kneeling by the bed in our bedroom. And the same presence that came on me, the same peace that came on me was all over her. And it's like, this is good. And you know what? I never did go to prison. God is good. I'm finishing, Ron. Yeah, I usually tell this story and forget to finish. He's like, I want the rest of the story. Just in brief, the rest of the story, the sheriff here in town was a family friend. And there was information put on the news that the person who committed this crime, they were getting closer to making the arrest. My sister Vigor knew what I had done, and she called me at Raymond and said, Joel, they got information. They're closer to getting the person that did that. And then months went by, and Vigor was talking to the sheriff, and the sheriff stopped his sentence in mid-sentence and looked her straight in the eye and said, I'm going to Phoenix. I'm going to talk to one witness, and I'm going to go arrest him. And Vigor said her jaw hit the floor. And if he was just fishing, he got everything he wanted. Well, that was like in January. Later on that spring, my sister Ann got married. And Mom flew me back up because that was the first time since my dad died in 10 years that all 10 of us kids would be together again. So it was kind of a big deal. And the sheriff didn't run for office. So he wasn't sheriff anymore. And I saw him at Ann's wedding. And he just pulls me in and says, someday we should talk. I know what happened. There's another verse of scripture. It is thou, O Lord, who do surround the righteous with favor as with a shield. Just think about that. It is thou, O Lord, who do surround the righteous with favor as with a shield. You know, when you grab a hold of the fact that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, he was delivered up because of your sin, but he was raised up because of your justification, and you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, then you can also start to grab a hold of, he surrounds me with favor as with a shield. He surrounds me with favor as with a shield. He surrounds me with favor as with a shield. I know that's what happened. The sheriff, who was a backslidden Pentecostal, just decided, why on earth do I want to arrest this kid? He's born again. He's saved. He's not doing drugs. He's not driving his car over town like he used to. He's married. He's got two kids. He's going to Bible school. And nothing ever happened. Amen. Thank you, God. How many of you know God is good? How many of you know God is good? God is good to us. Remember that verse of scripture that we read there in Romans chapter 8? You're in Romans chapter 4. Can you get to Romans 8 real quick? Just let me read it one more time. He who did not spare his son. He who did not spare his own son. He didn't spare him. Suppose it was hard for the father to watch. Suppose it was tough to watch his son beaten, to watch that whip go across his back, sink into the flesh, be raked across. You think it was hard for the father not to spare him? Oh, how much does the Father love you? Because see, what he saw was he saw you and me redeemed, righteous, forgiven, his children. That's what he saw. Because he could see that, he didn't spare his son. Oh, thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Got to quit doing that. It gets hard to read. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Wow. Wow. Next part of the message. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And I'm going to read. How many of you like to get new Bibles? I know I like to get new Bibles and I like to get different translations. Well, this one is just excellent. It's the Passion Translation. Brian Simpson, I believe, is his name. And it's been translated from the Greek, the Hebrew, and the Aramaic. And it is just excellent. I'm going to read out of it some today. But first I want to read here out of my New King James because it's easier to identify where I'm at in the scripture that way. Romans chapter 12, then chapter 15. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I like the Amplified. It says reasonable, rational, intelligent service of spiritual worship. How many of you like the thought of reasonable, rational, intelligent spiritual worship? That's by offering up our bodies. That was Romans 12, 1, New King James. Now let me read it in this one. And I wanted to do something, and I hope you caught that. And I hope you think about your own life here a little bit and how good God's been to you and the things he's done for you. I can't in my life. I'm thinking most folks in here who have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, you can in your life. The blessings that you have and what he has done for us. Listen to it in the Passion Translation. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I don't know, I just like that question. I think it's a good one. What should be our proper response to his marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourself to God, to be his sacred living sacrifice, and live in holiness, experiencing all the delights of his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. How many of you think that sounds like a good response to how good he's been to us? Amen. Just to say, God, here's my life. Here's my life, God. Here's my life. I am a living sacrifice. My whole life. God, you can have it all. I know what it was like before Jesus, and I know how good it is after him. And God, you can have it all. Every bit of it. That's my response. A living sacrifice. And somebody has once said, you know, did you know living sacrifices have a tendency to crawl off the altar? How many of you know Christians somehow have a tendency to crawl off the altar of sacrifice? How many of you know sometimes we don't want to go into the mess? Sometimes it's not fun. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable. We don't want to. How many of us had times when call so-and-so? And let me preface this because of some conversations I had earlier the last couple of weeks. When I talk about going into the mess, I'm not primarily talking about the person on the sidewalk that's wanting some money from you. You know, that short one. I'm talking primarily about with brothers and sisters in the Lord. Because how many of you know sometimes our lives are a mess? They're a mess. Amen. Jeff, will you and Ron finish doing that? Jeff, will you and Ron, Scott, can I get Ron to do it and you just keep sitting right there? Would that be better? And Jeff, maybe you could just do it. Will you take that bucket of stuff, please, and just go ahead and spread it out. And Ron, if you want to help him, just grab the shovel and spread it out a little bit. We want to get it all good and mixed together, you know, and just everything. But how many of you know if you kept reading in this verse of Scripture here in Romans and you follow these verses of Scripture on down, well, I'll stop talking. So we can all watch. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Looks like cement. Yeah, it's just cement. That's all it is. How many of you know in a little bit I'm going to ask for some volunteers? I am. Seriously, you do see the bucket with water in the towels, right? Amen. That'll work. That'll work. Looking good. Oh, yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. How many of you want to find his will for you? You want to find his will for your life? Can I guarantee you something? Can I promise you something? We're talking about it. We're talking about it right now. We're talking about you finding his will for your life. See, what should be our response to the goodness of Jesus? What should be our response to him giving his life and doing everything he did for us? Ours should be no less. Here it is, Jesus. Such as it is, here it is. And you know what's amazing? You might think, I got nothing to offer. I got nothing, God. I know me. I got nothing to give you. You give him who you are the way you are and watch what he does. You watch how he works through you. You watch what he puts inside of you. You watch what he gives to you and what flows through you into other people. You watch. It's amazing. It's a miracle. It's life and life more abundantly. If we're willing to go into the mess, if we're willing to go into the mess, let me read a little more in this. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifice and live in holiness, experiencing all the delight, all that delights his heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideas and the opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through the total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Now I'm going to go to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 1, still out of the Passion Translation. You can read in yours and then hear the words that are in this one. Now those who are mature, so who am I talking to? Now those who are mature in their faith can easily be recognized, for they do not live to please themselves, but have learned to patiently embrace others in their immaturity. Our goal must to be empower others to do what is right and good for them, and to bring them into spiritual maturity. For not even the most powerful one of all, the Anointed One, lived to please himself. His life fulfilled the scripture that says, all the insults of those who insult you fell upon me. I love that verse. Because you know what? Just think about this. All those nasty things people say about you, guess what? He took them. Amen? He took them. And I've had people say some nasty things about me. But he took them all. And, you know, just to put it this way, if we're happening to be and saying nasty things about people, guess who's taking it? He's taking it. Well, that'll grab a hold of this thing pretty quick. Whatever was written before was written for our instruction, us how to live. The scripture imparts to us encouragement and inspiration so that we can live in hope and endure all. How many of you know Jesus? Do I have my volunteer yet? Okay. All right, Lisa. All right, and then I'm going to need another volunteer. Amen. I'll take Francis. Kenny, there's a reason for that. You'll see it in just a moment. Will you do me a favor and go sit over in that chair and take your shoes off? Amen. You get to be on this end. Nope, you don't get to take your shoes off. How many of us are willing to go into the mess? How many of us are willing to go into the mess of other people's lives when they're hurting and when they're broken? How many of us have had God talk to us about making a phone call to a friend who's in a tough spot, but we don't want it? Can I have a show of hands, please? How many times do we put it off? guys, was Jesus willing to go into the mess? He was willing to go into the mess of my life. You know, he was willing to leave heaven and have streets of gold and come down to this earth and to be born in a manger and to walk on the streets of this world. And we know back then they weren't blacktop. We know back then when the animals would walk down the streets and the rain would come, we know what people walked in. And Jesus was willing to walk in that mess. But then he was willing to take it a little bit farther too. He was willing to be made sin. He was willing to go to hell. Wow. He's not asking us to go to hell. But he is asking us to go into the mess. What should be our proper response to the greatness of this love that he has for us? Amen. Lisa, will you just go ahead and get in the mess? I think Lisa's a perfect volunteer for this. Still glad you volunteered. Diana, you want to go hold? Just go hold her hand. Help her walk across that. You want to change your mind, Lisa?
She's
How's that feel? Yeah. Not the easiest thing to walk in. A little cold. It's rather unpleasant. Okay. All right. Now, Francis, if you will. Okay, Diana. If you can stay there as long as Lisa wants you to hold her hand. How long should we leave Lisa in there? How many of you know sometimes when you go into a mess, you don't know how long you're going to be there? And I'm doing so good. I was thinking I'd get done at about 10:45, and it's only 10:55. So thanks, Lisa. How many of you are hearing me? How many of you are letting God talk to you? Will you remember this phrase? Into the mess. Into the mess. Into the mess. When you have a friend who's hurting, when you've got a friend whose stuff is falling apart, will you go there? Will you be their friend? Will you get in the middle of that and help? And so thankful, you know, these two ladies. And my wife has kind of surprised me because I told her what I was going to be doing. And I said that, well, if nobody volunteers, I'll walk through it. And then I said, now I need someone to wash my feet. Would you? And she's like, she just likes Lisa more. Amen. Folks, we're going to do communion here in a little bit. And how many of you know with communion, when we take communion, there's that representation of the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus. And how many of us know that's also a covenant? We enter into a covenant. And when we enter into that covenant, we're saying, Jesus, I acknowledge you in your body. I acknowledge what you did for me. I acknowledge the fact that you became my sin so I could become your righteousness. I acknowledge the fact that your body was broken so mine could be made whole. There's all these things that we get to acknowledge. But how many of you know that's half of the covenant? That's half of the covenant. There's another half. And the other half is my part. That's the other half, is me saying yes. I will go into the mess. And reflecting back to Jan's testimony, how many of you could leave a tract sitting on a shelf? This guy, Munns, Steve Munns is his name. He wanted to win people to the Lord. He wanted to win them to the Lord in the worst way. And he wanted to witness on the streets, but he didn't have the guts to do it. And so when he went out and he tried to witness to people and he just couldn't do it, he couldn't bring himself to actually walk up to him, hand a tract to him, and start talking about Jesus. So this is what he did to get started. He went out and he took tracks and he put them in phone booths. Now I know there's world is changing and some phone booths on the street. And then he'd go across the street and he'd watch and someone would come in and they'd take that track. And that's how he got started. But today he is one of the best soul winners you'll run across. He is good at what he does. There's a lot of other good people that do this. But notice where they started. Amen. Hallelujah. So, glory to God. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Lisa. How many of you know Jesus did that for us? We're called to go do the same. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians. Oh, I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong reference. 1 Corinthians. Today, when we receive communion, we want to do several things. And let me just read the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll start reading at verse 23. 2 Corinthians. Oh, no. Yes. See, I got 2 stuck in my brain. So whoever made me think, first, pastor, thank you. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I receive from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." What we're going to do is we're just going to invite, Jan's already taken the cloths off the communion at the back table. There's this over here, and she's got a couple of things set up on that back table. When we do communion, I got some music that's going to be playing. We don't need to hurry. We don't need to rush. But when you're ready, and if you want to come up as family, you want to come up with friends and take communion, there's these three different spots where you can do that at. And I like not to hurry. Not to hurry, okay? Because it's a special time. It's an important time in what we're thinking about. We're remembering Jesus. We're remembering that his body was broken for us. He said they're broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus, I remember. I remember. Verse 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Okay? But now the other side of it, guys. What is our proper response to this great love? My life as a living sacrifice for you, and I will go into the mess. I will go into those people's lives who are hurting. And I will be there and I'll be a friend. And I can promise you at times you will not know what to say. I can guarantee you. Just a story. I got a phone call at Monday. Glad I caught myself on that one. I got a phone call on a Monday after Sunday. But I was looking forward to eating lunch and watching some TV. I got a phone call that a lady's last living child had died. And the mom was just barely in her 50s. And her daughter was in her late 30s. And she had 3 children, if I remember. And they had a brother. The daughter had a brother that was killed before. So this mom just lost her last living child. And I go over to that house. You know what? I didn't want to go. I wanted to watch TV and eat my lunch. But I went anyway, and I didn't have anything to say. And all week long, just the process. Just walk through the process with them. Be there. Couldn't come up with, you know. And then it's Friday night, and we're at the funeral home. And the mom is sitting in the front row, head bowed like this, just, and it was just in my heart to sit down on the floor right in front of her and get turned and look up sideways. And I had some things to speak to her. And for the first time in that whole week, I was able to speak words from God that made their way into her heart and started to bring hope and grace and comfort to her in that. Why am I sharing that? Because we're willing to go to the mess. We're willing to go in there knowing that sometimes we won't know what to say, but we go anyway. You know what? And I remember when I didn't have any words, and I just went, I can love her. I can love on her. I can love on her husband. I can love them. I know I can do that. Amen? How many of you know you can do that? Glory to God. So let's pray. And Paul, will you turn those lights out back there for me, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, we worship you and praise you. And God, I know this is Easter. This is the day that we celebrate Jesus being alive. And we do that. I haven't forgot that. But God, this is what you put in my heart. Jesus came for everybody. For everybody. He came for those who have not met him yet. He even came for those who will never say yes to him. And we get to be the body of Christ. And we want to respond properly. And we know that part of that proper response is loving on people when they're hurting. So as we prepare to take communion today, God, we do so with this heart. We remember. We remember that broken body of Jesus. We remember that shed blood and what that brings us. We remember that he came to give us life and life more abundantly. We remember that. But then also, it's in my heart for us, Father, to say, and yes, again, I offer up my life as a living sacrifice and to be a mature believer, helping those around me who need help, who need love, who need mercy, who need forgiveness. So, Father God, thank you, thank you, and again, thank you. Heavenly Father, we love you. No, please don't shut it off. Heavenly Father, we love you. We worship you and we praise you. Give you glory and honor. And Father, I'm certain of this today when people came up here. It wasn't just going through the motions. No, 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 no. People's hearts were engaged. People's hearts were connected to yours, God. And there was a bonding that took place in a deeper way. There was a weaving together. It was even stronger. And Father, that we would be living sacrifices. And the altar is this world that we walk in. The altar is the grocery store, the place we work, the sidewalks, the different events, the sporting events. The altar is our vacation. It's this world that we live in. And as we live in this world, and as we walk in this world, and as we breathe the air of this world, Father God, we are yours. We are yours. Because Jesus is ours. Amen. And we thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are blessed. Amen. And you have been free to go all morning long. And you can go ahead and love on somebody and just take your time and make your way out and enjoy the rest of the day. Be blessed. Be blessed. Amen. Hallelujah.